A very interesting email popped into my inbox recently, and I'm wondering if you can relate to the sentiment behind the email, and I'm wondering if you have ever sent an email like this to somebody, or perhaps had a conversation that sounds wildly similar to the emotions that were spread throughout that email. And the email was from a veteran teacher. And in the very first line of the email, the person said, "I'm embarrassed to send this because I have been in education for over 20 years and I've never felt like this before." And the "this" that the teacher was referring to was stressed out, burnt out, lacking motivation, lacking ideas, lacking love from students and her school. And she was just reaching out to say, "What ideas do you have? What advice do you have? How can you help me with this?" And what's interesting is this is not the first email that I have received from listeners. It's not the first email that I've received from fellow teacher friends from Instagram or TikTok or social media. And it's not the first time that I've had that conversation with even my own teacher BFFs from friendships and from colleagues. And I think that's not the first time, because so many of us are starting to question things and we wonder, is this normal? Is it like this in other schools? Does it feel like this? Does it seem like this? Is this how it works in other districts? And so what I thought we could do in this episode is look at six things that prove that your school is a successful and safe working environment for you, and two signs that it's toxic. And these ideas, these signs of both success and signs of, ooh, it's toxic, are coming from experiences that I've had, are coming from experiences that people have communicated with me, and I've collected all of those to create a list. And I want you to listen to this episode with an open mind and an open heart and an open head and kind of go through and figure out how many of the six signs of success do you have in your school, and do you have any of the traits of it being toxic? And kind of come up with your own personal score. And then you are going to have data to decide what is your next step. This episode is going to be real. It's going to be relatable, probably for so many of you. But the number one goal of this episode is for you to figure out, are the things that you are experiencing worth sticking around for, or is it time to find a slightly different working environment for you? And I need you to know that regardless of where you fall at the end of the episode, we all have the personal choice to continue working in the schools that we have worked in, or pivot to a place that could be a more positive fit for you. There's not a right or wrong answer. It's just there's the best answer for you. So let's get into this episode. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. on any given day, there are so many thoughts that can cross our minds. Truly, millions of thoughts can be racing through our heads at any given second. But I think how we spend those free moments, how we spend any, quote, downtime, is a determining factor in how much we like our job. And I think one of the largest signs of a successful school and a successful space for you as an educator is if when you are driving to work, whether it is 1 minute or an hour in 1 minute, which would be a long commute, you got a lot of think time on that. But if on your commute to school, you are actually thinking about work in a positive way, you are excited to try out this new strategy, you're pumped up to have the possibility of doing something cool or special with kids, you are energetic about the new exciting thing that you're gonna do in your classroom that day, if your commute time is actually filled with positive emotions about the place that you work, that is a huge sign that you are in a successful and safe working environments. Because those of us who have ever been in a not so safe working environment know that that commute time can actually create a bunch of anxiety. Sometimes that can create tears. Sometimes it feels like you've got an ulcer brewing in your stomach. And if you are feeling sad or anxious on your drive to school or home from school, that is not a good feeling, and you're not gonna feel motivated to drive and commute and be a part of that learning community for very long. Now, I also think that it's not just that commute time. I think it's also some downtime. As an example, truly, from a realistic lens in my own life, if I am on a run, and during that run, I am thinking about new ideas for school or new strategies to implement with staff or students. During the run, I am brainstorming about work. That is a sign that like things are going very well in my school, because running friggin' sucks. But if I am distracted in a positive way by using that downtime, that time away from home and away from things, and running is truly for me. Even if I hate it, it's for me. But I'm using that time to disconnect from life, but I'm wanting to connect to work in school. That is a sign of success. So the very first indicator that I want you to think about is when you have free time, even if it's as you are pouring another cup of coffee or doing food prep, you're peeling carrots, when that downtime pops up, what pops into your head? Are they positive or negative emotions about the workplace? The next indicator that you are in a successful, safe working environment is that when something happens in your school, like a new committee opportunity or a new flowchart or a new system or a new solution, something that's going to be added to your teacher plate, something added to your workload as an educator, do people come to you and say, I'm totally willing to help on that. What can I do? You need me to cut something out? You need me to send an email? You need me to run to the Walmart to get some prizes or some treats? What can I do to help you? Because I'm on board. You need some ideas? You need some data? I got you covered. When something happens in school that is going to create a bigger workload, it's not all on you. Your staff and your school community say, we got it. We can figure this out. We are stronger together. Because the opposite of that is like, yeah, I'm definitely not signing up for that. Oh, yeah, let me pass that sheet to the next person, and I'm not going to put my name on that because that is not for me. What happens in your school? Because we know how good it feels when there are people who are saying, that's not all on your plate. We got this together. That is a sign that you truly have the climate and culture of a successful and safe school. And that is freaking awesome. So what does that look like in your current situation? The next thing I want to focus on is students. Because, like, so far, we've talked about you and your personal space and your personal time. We've talked about how staff responds to situations, but what about our students? One of the biggest reasons that any of us joined education is because of obviously the impact that we wanted to have with students. We wanted to see them learn. We wanted to see them grow. And so just a very basic question, are students smiling in your classroom? Are students smiling in your presence? And I want to be realistic. They're probably not smiling 100% of the time. There are going to be times that you have to lay the hammer down. There are going to be times where you really tick them off, okay? But in general, like, are students smiling? Is there a positive, happy emotion connected to what you are bringing to the table in your school or in your classroom? Because smiles are a huge indicator of success in schools. As cheesy and as cliche as that sounds, smiles are indicators of success. So how often are your students smiling in your school? And I'll ask a follow-up question. How often are you smiling in your school? Because more smiles, I genuinely believe, lead to more success. But I want to take a second because I promised that there were going to be six indicators of success in schools, but also two tall tale signs of some toxicity. And one of those is that herd mentality. You heard me. Okay, correctly. I felt like it was about to get heavy, so how do I respond in heavy moments? Sometimes with humor. And that was not a great pun, but the herd mentality. I wonder if you know what I mean by this. If it's happening in your school, you definitely know what I mean by this. The herd mentality is when there are a small group of teachers that kind of ruin it for everybody, or a small number of students that kind of ruin it for everybody. Let me put that into context. So in a school situation, it could be that maybe you're at a faculty meeting and the principal announces something that we need to try, okay? Some new system, some new philosophy, and that handful, a small percentage of people are like, this is freaking stupid. This is dumb. We've already tried this. It didn't work. This is never going to be something that I jump on board because it's just one more thing on our to-do list. Or they just literally are sitting there and they are typing on their computer or scrolling through their phone and they're like silently unsupportive. But the moment that you walk out of the meeting, they have lots of negative things to say, but they don't really have the guts. I was going to use a different word, but we'll just say they don't really have the guts to just go up to the principal and ask the question or ask the committee the question. They don't care about questions. They care about complaints. And then they have this ability to herd other people in. That's why it's called the herd mentality. It's like herding cattle. Like a couple of cows start running, then all of a sudden they're all following. And for whatever reason, that small group of teachers has an insane amount of power to get other people on board their toxic train. And I don't want to be on board that toxic train. Can you relate to that? Because I'm going to be honest, that is a toxic trait that we are seeing in schools always. It's always existed, but we are seeing it at a greater frequency right now. And in all fairness, I get why we're seeing it at a higher frequency. This job is harder, requires more. There are more pain points for sure, but I still don't think we can justify that mentality. Now, what does it look like, sound like, and feel like for students? kind of the same concept. In a group of students, this could be like, you have this new like cool unit project and you present it to kids and there are a lot of kids smiling and they're already thinking about what they're going to do for this project. And you have like pretty good energy on this. And then a handful, we're talking like two or three kids are like, this is so freaking stupid. Do we have to do this? Are you going to actually grade this? Is this worth points? Because if it's not worth points, I'm not doing it. Or like, my parents say I don't have to do it because it's stupid. And then all of a sudden, all the good energy that was happening from this really cool thing that you've been working on, you got two or three people who are starting to herd in the negativity. And the kids who were excited are like, yeah, I don't want to do it either. And you're like, what is happening? And it goes from one or two kids being toxic to the entire class being toxic, whether they want to be or not. Because the people who are positive, the people who are into the idea, feel like their voice can't be heard because then they are in the minority in that situation. They went from being so excited to, I better not say that I'm excited about this project because I think one of my friends or one of my peers is going to yell at me because I guess now I have to think that this project is stupid. If that exists in your school, I do believe that is a toxic trait for the working environment. Because that is tough to overcome. That is a very tough thing to overcome. And so when that happens, you got to pivot and you got to have a plan. And that plan could be having individual conversations with the small group of people. And those are hard conversations to have. Because I think as humans, we don't want to rock the boat. I think that's true. We don't want to rock the boat. And when the people who are acting in a toxic way get called out, it becomes defensive. That's a human mechanism. Defense. I did not say that. That's not what I meant. And they start kind of like skating backwards on this and retracting. And so what's your plan when that kind of toxic thing does pop up and that herd mentality exists with either students or staff? My go-to is always having that one-on-one conversation and being like, seriously, what is going on? Like, what is it going to take to get you on board? Because not being on board is not an option. So if you are upset or frustrated or confused or whatever emotion you're feeling, I totally hear you. In fact, I want to hear what's bothering you. And I also want to hear what is an idea or a solution to the problem. Because I just kind of believe on a life level, if you're going to complain about something, you also have to come to the table with a solution. So maybe that's the plan. I am willing to hear all complaints. And once you're done sharing that complaint, I also want to hear your creative solution to your complaint. There's got to be some balance. Now, we are going to get into the three other super fun signs that your school is successful and the one other chronic thing that could create some toxic situations in your school in the second part of this episode, which is going to be coming up in 2 minutes. And I promise you don't want to miss it. Do you know what every single one of these signs of successful schools has in common? Every single one, regardless of the list of six, there is one pillar that they all have in common, and that pillar is people. Our schools are successful because of the people in it. Successful because of student relationships, successful because of staff relationships, successful because of school community relationships. The number one pillar that is going to cause our schools to absolutely thrive and have a successful and safe working environment are the relationships that we are fostering. And that is why I believe in a concept that I call the rooted classroom. I believe in it so much that I wrote a book called The Rooted Classroom. And during the month of December, I am doing a 21-day fun, flexible virtual course that is packed with ideas on how you can bring your student and staff relationships to a whole new level. It is going to be packed with ideas that are great for morning meeting, advisory, social and emotional learning, but also packed with ideas that can take your climate and culture of the relationships in your school to places that you never thought possible. This is all happening during the month of December, and registration for the Rooted Classroom course is open right now. You can go to monicagenta.com/courses. That's Monica, GENTA.com/courses. There's also a direct link to the course in the show notes so you can get signed up. Again, this is a 21-day fun, flexible virtual course. And teachers, you can even earn up to 15 hours worth of official PD credit for your participation. If you are loving these signs and signals that your school is successful and you want to bring your school to new levels, this is for you. If you are hearing this and you feel like, oh man, I'm missing out, I feel like my school is stuck in a rut, you can be the teacher that says, but I am going to spearhead this and find some teacher friends to take the course with me so you guys can work together to really create the Rooted Classroom in the Rooted School. Check out monicagenta.com/courses to get signed up. I promise when we put the roots before the fruits, that is going to impact the relationships that you have with your students, staff, and school. The next sign that your school is a supportive and safe place for you is actually about the way that we handle mistakes. Sometimes when we think about mistakes, we think, yeah, mistakes are because of toxic situations. But I would argue that mistakes are just part of education. Students are going to make mistakes. Staff are going to make mistakes. Principals are going to make mistakes. But what I think is a clear indicator, especially from the lens of a teacher, is when you make a mistake and you can go to your principal and say, I did something wrong. Here's what I did. Here's why I did it. I'm sorry. My bad. How your principal responds in that moment determines if it is a safe and successful school environment. Because I'll tell you, when you have an amazing leader that is leading with love and you say that you've made a mistake, they say, okay, all right, let's get this figured out. Okay, you're right. That's not great, but I think it's going to be okay. That is incredibly powerful. Now, I understand that principals are not always going to be able to respond like that, depending on the situation and the severity of the mistake or problem. But I think 9 times out of 10, most of the whoopsies that we make as teachers aren't huge things. And even this year, I've had to go into my own principal's office and be like, hey, I want to apologize. I think I approached this situation a little bit poorly. And the principal's been like, you know what? It's not a big deal. I didn't think anything of that. I appreciate the effective communication. We're good. You're good. But you coming in and owning it means a lot. Oh my gosh, what a relief, right? And so when things go wrong in your school, how does leadership react? What are the next steps? What's the follow through on that? And do you still feel like your leader has your back? Because if your leader has your back in those moments, even when you've made a mistake, wow, that is leading with love. And that is a successful and safe working environment. The next thing that I want to talk about is something super silly, maybe. And maybe this doesn't happen in all schools. I don't really know. Maybe you can fill me in on this. But I think staff that actually want to hang out with each other outside of school is a huge indicator that it is a successful and safe working environment. Now, I understand that life is super, super busy. So notice that I didn't say that they do go bowling together or they do go crafting together, that they want to go together. and they're actually disappointed if they cannot go together. When there is some sort of staff function or staff situation that is going to be outside of your teacher contract hours and you're like, oh, I would love to go to that, that's a sign of success. It's just recently happened in my own school district. We had a PD day and the it was a half day PD. And so we got dismissed prior to lunch. And prior to us getting dismissed for PD, there was already a proactive email saying, hey, as a staff, we're all going out for tacos. Let us know. Reply to this email if you want to go because we're going to get a little reservation going. Would love to have everyone. That email went out to all staff. I saw that email and I was like, yes, awesome. I want to go. And then I did go and I had a great time. So I guess the way that we could just phrase this is like, if your staff is going out for tacos, what is your response? Do you ignore the email? You're like, oh, shoot, I'm busy. And you didn't even look at your stinking calendar because you're like, well, I'll make myself busy because I'm definitely not attending that. Do you avoid social situations with your staff? Or do you celebrate social situations with your staff? Full transparency, I've been a part of staff where I have led the brigade on that. I'm like, here's what we're doing. It's going to be awesome. Meet us at the bowling alley. And I have been part of staff where I'm like, ignore that email. Gross. Never in a million years would I attend that. I know that's being really transparent, but because I have been both in toxic situations with staff and incredibly safe and successful relationships with staff, like, I know the feelings of the difference, and it feels good to feel like you belong. I want to say that again. It feels good to feel like you belong in your staff. You belong in your school. You belong in the learning community that you teach and reach every single day. So, what does that look like for you right now? Because the last thing that I think creates an incredible staff culture and an incredibly successful school is laughter. It's so, like, laughter, period. Boom. That's it. On your commute home from school every single day, I want you to just ask one very basic question. Did you laugh today? And that can be with students or with staff. But I think if we don't have the opportunity to laugh, or things are getting so crazy that we forget to laugh, or things are so toxic that there isn't even the space to laugh, that is an indicator, isn't it? Like, did you laugh today? I did. I'm recording this on a day of school. And I definitely laughed today. I laughed with students and I laughed with staff. And I want that for you every single day. Because the very last indicator is another toxic thing. And I'm wondering if you're experiencing this. It's one of the most dangerous things that we can do. Do you chronically update your phone or your computer to check emails because you are confident that a parent or a principal is freaking out on you and sending you mean, negative, nasty communication? If you are clicking refresh on your phone or refresh on your email because you're like, I know that parent is mad at me. I'm sure I'm going to get a multi-paragraph email about it. Or maybe something with your principal. Oh, I know my principal is fired up. I know that email is coming. And you keep clicking refresh, 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 refresh. And every single time when it shows updated and there isn't another email in there, you're like, whew, okay, we're good. Maybe it's not coming. Or like, whew, maybe they aren't as upset as what I thought. Or like, whew, okay, maybe that kid was just having a moment and it's not that big of a deal. I have been in places where that was never an issue because I knew I had the back of, I knew that other staff had my back and I knew that principals had my back. And I've also been in situations where I'm like, oh my God, I don't even know what to do in this situation. It is rare. I will say this. There is probably a very small percentage of people who can relate to this toxic situation. But if you are constantly refreshing and are relieved that an email hasn't popped in with some stressful situation, some stern situation, then I'm thankful that you cannot relate to that. But if you can relate to that, let's just call it what it is. That's tough. That's a tough, toxic situation to be in as a teacher. So I'm not sure what your final score is. I don't know how many of the 6 positive situations that you could say yes to and that you're like, yeah, for sure, girl, that's my staff, okay? Those are my students. That's my school. I'm not sure what your score on the 6 positive things were, and I'm not sure what your score was on the toxic situation. Obviously, in a perfect world, it would be I have all 6 signs of a successful school and 0 of the toxic traits. Amazing. That's a perfect score. Holy crap. Stay in that school district and in your classroom setting for as long as you have a 6. But if you are like, girl, I have like 1 of the successful traits and both of the toxic traits, if there's this massive imbalance, then I think the hard question that we have to ask ourselves is, then what's your next step? And that is for you to decide. These might not be the only signs of success. Let me just say that. These are based off of my experiences and my communication with teachers from all over the country and with my own personal teacher BFFs. Same thing with the toxic stuff. You might have other toxic traits that you experience as a teacher, but these are ones that I have collected and have found themes and have found just patterns with. But at the end of the day, education is an amazing place. And you deserve to have an amazing experience in it. And if you're not feeling that, we get to make some action steps. And if we are feeling that, then you get to continue to celebrate that. And one of those action steps could be joining the Rooted Classroom course. Again, that's starting in December, and it's a 21-day fun, flexible course that I'd love to have you be a part of. There's video, there's lesson ideas, there's live events where I answer your pressing Q&As. It is tons of fun. It is super relational. It's incredibly supportive, and it could be the thing that really causes you to figure out where your relationship boundaries lie with students, staff, and school. So if you haven't considered signing up, this is your time to consider. You can go to monicagenta.com/courses. But most importantly in this episode, I hope that this was this enlightening thing. I hope it was this moment for you to kind of reflect and create some clarity in your own personal life. Remember, these episodes drop every single Sunday night, so you are ready for your morning commute on Monday. Now, we got some awesome episodes coming in the upcoming weeks. So if you haven't already subscribed or followed the podcast, make sure that you are doing that so all of these episodes are hitting your airwaves. Until the next episode, I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode. But most importantly, I want to thank you for living this teacher life.